here we are gathered, the Lord's people before him to praise his name. This is a wonderful thing. And this is Palm Sunday today as well, isn't it? The day we remember Jesus riding in to Jerusalem. And because Christ came to us, we go for him. And that is the theme, really, our focus this morning. So we welcome Clive Langston from SGA. Children, keep in your mind, SGA, you might know what it means already, but Clive will come and tell us in a bit if you don't, and reveal. And he will be sharing with us about the gospel work of SGA and bringing God's word to us today. We're going to read, so it would be great if you could open your Bibles to Luke. There it is on the screen, thanks, chapter 10, and I'm going to read some verses from this passage we've been hearing, haven't we, of the darkness, but also the light, and the gospel message which needs to go out. So let's hear these words of Christ from Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 1-4. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the roads." And then verse 16-21. "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. Whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Praise God for his words.
I want to start by asking you 2 questions. And only you know the answer, and only God also knows the answer. But where will you go for Jesus? Where will you go for Jesus? And secondly, to whom will you go? Our title this morning is Sending Out. In this Jesus-given ministry, where he sends his disciples, these 70, into the plentiful harvest. Now, can you imagine these guys? They must have been excited. Jesus was sending them on a mission. But also they must have been pretty fearful. Because when we go on missions, we don't really know the outcome, do we? We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what's going to happen. It was the unknown. You know, we are called, aren't we, to go into the world. For some, that does mean going to other countries. Maybe for you, it means going into Ipswich. For me, into Worthing, where I live in West Sussex. But we're all called to go into the world. Someone said it's our supreme task. It's our supreme task. You know, when we become Christians, there isn't a tick box, is there? And you don't tick, "I don't want to go." There isn't that option. Jesus doesn't give us that option. He just tells us to go. I think sometimes we think, well, this is really for the specially gifted. You know, for the missionary. They're the ones to go. For the evangelist. Or for the pastor. It's their responsibility. But it's not. It's about all of us being obedient or disobedient, being willing or being unwilling. Someone said this, exceptional people are not required. It is a message they carry and the driving power that carries them which are exceptional. That takes the pressure off, doesn't it? It's not about you, it's not about me. It's about the power of the Word of God alongside the power of the Spirit of God. I want us this morning just to look at four areas to do with sending out. Most of them are quite brief, so don't be too worried that there's 4 points instead of three. But the first one is this. We see in our passage, it's a shared ministry. Verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. You know, this amazes me that here they're in partnership with Jesus. And that's the same for us. If we go for Jesus, we're in partnership with him. You know, that is incredible, isn't it? That Jesus would choose you. That Jesus would choose me to go for him. It's humbling, isn't it? It's his will for us to serve faithfully, working together to accomplish God's will. And our part, as the disciples here, was to go and prepare the way. Jesus was coming later, but they had to go and prepare the way. And Paul says, we're ambassadors, aren't we? We're Christ's ambassador. And if you're an ambassador, you go ahead of the important person and you prepare the way for when he or she comes. We go proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, don't we? But we let Jesus touch and change hearts and lives. You know, he's got the tough part. You know, we can't change a person's heart or life, can we? But it's his work that the lost are found. I love Jesus' promise at the end of Matthew's gospel. And he says there, and surely I'm with you always. So if we go, if we are sent out, we go, he promises to be with us always. We need that, don't we? His comforting presence. We need his strengthening power. We need his great peace in the situations we find ourselves in. Verse 3 in our passage, we read there that we're going out as lambs among the wolves. I think we see this today. People that who are bold and stand up for the Lord Jesus, especially in the public domain, the wolves soon attack them, seek to destroy them, bring them down, and rubbish their message. So it's a shared ministry, Jesus and you. That's incredible, isn't it? Secondly, it's an abundant ministry, verse 2. He told them the harvest is plentiful. That's wonderful, isn't it? The harvest is plentiful. This is the good news, isn't it? That in Ipswich today, the harvest is plentiful. There's a bumper harvest just outside our church here. There's people to be reached. Before I joined SJ, I was a pastor of a Baptist church in North Devon, and it was a village situation. We had a lot of farmers in the church, and when it was harvest, you knew about it because they worked hard, you know, morning to night, bringing in the crops when the weather was right for that. And it's the same, isn't it? There's an abundant ministry here, but it's much hard work. It's not easy. Is there a danger that we're letting the harvest go to waste? You know, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, we've seen this morning on the screen, they're not letting the harvest go to waste. You know, if they were tucked up in their churches or in their homes, we could understand it and say, that would be us if it was here. But no, there's a harvest. There's an abundant ministry. The good news, the harvest is plentiful, and then it's very quickly followed, isn't it, with some bad news. But the workers are few. That's the reality too, isn't it? That's the constant challenge in any ministry. You know, if I'm honest, I prefer people to come in the church through the doors to save me going out to them. But we know it doesn't really work that way. Sometimes we get the odd visitor, don't we, that comes in and it's a blessing, but there's somebody that won't come in the doors. And we have to go out to them. I don't know if you notice in the passage, but here, how joyful are the workers? I think the happiest Christians are those who are serving in the ministry that Jesus has called them to. There's joy, isn't there, in fruitfulness. And I want to be a part of that. I hope you do say you want to be a part of that fruitfulness as you serve the Lord Jesus in how he's called you to serve. So the good news, the harvest is plentiful, and then you get the bad news, the workers are few. But then Jesus tells the disciples what to do. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. You know, here is the importance, isn't it, of prayer. Any ministry we're going to do for the Lord, we need to bathe it in prayer. We need to ask him. You know, it's so important, isn't it, the prayers of us together, the church, the body of Christ, also the individual prayers, your own prayers before the Lord and your service of him. You know, I need a great compassion for the lost. You know, I work a lot with Christians, and I suppose it can be very easy in that sense, not really amongst non-Christians, but I suspect many of you work and study amongst non-Christians, and it's a challenge, isn't it? We just need to pray, don't we, for our workplaces, the places where we study, for those that we work alongside, to have that greater compassion for the lost, a loving heart to act, to send, to give, to support, and to go. I don't know if you noticed verse 4 when Ben was reading it, but it's an interesting verse. It says, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. I think here it's the reliance on Jesus, not what we can bring to the party. You know, I can do this, Jesus, I can do this for you, that. You know, it's not about that. It's about relying on him and what he would do through us by his Spirit. But also it seems rude, doesn't it? You go down the road here, but don't greet anyone, just keep going. I think what we need to realize is that time is short. That there's many formalities that take place, and I was a pastor, and you want to do something new, and you have to have about 20 meetings to discuss it before you even do it. And it's a challenge, isn't it, today, that we can time waste, not maybe deliberately, but it can creep in on us, can't it? That instead of getting out and going, we're busy deciding how to do it. Not that planning is wrong, but time is short. We need that single-mindedness, don't we, to the call of God. It's a shared ministry. It's an abundant ministry. And then thirdly this morning, it's a spoken ministry. We see that in verse 16, don't we? Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So we go and we speak, don't we, with the authority of Jesus. you know, not lording it over people, not sort of bossing people or anything like that, but drawing alongside people, maybe sharing our testimony, maybe sharing what God means to us, what the Bible means to us, what Jesus has done for us. And it's great, isn't it? If they hear us, if they receive what we say in their hearts, they have heard Jesus. And it's wonderful, isn't it, when a person comes to receive the divine message of life, they find out the way, the truth, and the life for themselves. We didn't read it, but the message that these disciples were sent out to say was in verse 9 and verse 11, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near you. There's that opportunity there, wasn't there, to enter the kingdom of God or to turn away. But the good news must be heard. You know, churches put on great events and actions can attract people. But the Bible says it's the truth that sets people free. Hearing and believing the good news of Jesus. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he did many miracles and healings. And of course it attracted huge crowds. They loved it, seeing what Jesus was doing. But it was his life-giving words that saved some. Not the miracles, not the healings, but his words that penetrated their hearts. And it's interesting, isn't it, we read in the Gospels that others walked away. What Jesus said was too much for them. The commitment Jesus wanted wasn't for them, and they walked away. And here in our passage, you get the saddest response, don't you? He who rejects me, Jesus says, rejects him who sent me. We need to remind ourselves, if we reject God, that there's no other way for salvation, is there? Because salvation is through God and his Son, the Lord Jesus. And if you reject Jesus, you're rejecting God and any possible way of salvation. I wonder if the Lord is speaking to anyone this morning that his kingdom is near. Will you enter into the kingdom? Or are you at that point of rejecting God and God's salvation for you? So it's a spoken ministry. You must share the gospel with people. And then lastly this morning, it's an effective ministry. We won't read the verses again, but we see in verses 17 to 21 an effective ministry. You know, these disciples may have gone out fearful, but they return, don't they? We're told they return with joy. They've had an amazing time on their mission, on their sending out and going. They experience the power of God in them and the power of God at work through them. They found true joy in God's service, haven't they? They say we saw wonderful victories in Jesus' name. Not in their names, not in what they could do, but in Jesus' name. And I want to say this morning, no Christ-centered ministry is ineffective. Sometimes we maybe feel it is. We're out of ministry for many years and we sort of say, well, you know, what's happened? What's been achieved? You know, was it worth it? Worth my time, my effort? But no Christ-centered ministry is ineffective. He makes ministry effective, doesn't he? And Jesus gives a very interesting reaction to what the disciples are saying to him. And he said this, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I think it tells us that Jesus sees the fuller picture of what goes on when we're ministering for him. He sees, doesn't he, sort of behind the scenes, what we don't see in the spiritual realm. But as these disciples were out ministering, Jesus saw Satan falling down. And also I love this part here about Jesus. We're told, Jesus, full of joy. It's crazy. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Why is he full of joy? Verse 21 gives us that, the answer. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Jesus is full of joy for two reasons. One, he always rejoices in God, his Father. Secondly, he's rejoicing in God's revelation to the little children. Who are the little children? They were those who believed. Jesus takes joy in someone coming to know him. But just to bring the message to a conclusion this morning, verse 20, the second part of that verse, we read this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's wonderful, isn't it? For these 70, they could rejoice that their names were written in heaven. I'm going to finish by saying, here is the believer's deepest joy, that their names are written in the book of life in heaven. It's not the results of my ministry, SGA's ministry, your ministry, even though they are important. It's the joy of one's salvation that really matters. The joy of an eternal life and home with him. Amen. Lord Jesus, to whom do you want us to go? Lord, there's people that you put on our path, or that you want us to just speak to encourage, to challenge, to hope, to bring hope and help. Lord, we thank you that we've seen our brothers and sisters in Ukraine are doing this, and they're seeing many saved. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent out your disciples. And Lord, they came back with joy. Lord, we want to know that joy ourselves as we go for you. Lord, whether it's locally or further afield, or maybe willing, Lord, to go where you want us to go. We thank you for our morning together, Lord. We thank you for each person here. You encourage them in their walk with you. Maybe for some that they would begin a walk with you and in your kingdom. Lord, so we ask your blessing upon us now as we enjoy refreshments and fellowship together. And we'll pray your watch over us. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.